shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi, this is Pastor Wallace Renning, inviting you to join me every Friday at 1 p.m. beginning on December 7th for my new program, Words to Observe and Obey, the radio ministry of New Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, right here on 89.9 FM, WCNO.
Grace Women's Healthcare, a Christian-based OBGYN practice serving St. Lucie County for 5 years, strives to provide excellent OBGYN care to women in a supportive environment. Board certified Dr. Carl Zollicoffer, along with nurse practitioner Denise Joseph, are available to serve you at 772-429-3400. Grace Women's Healthcare, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 772-429-3400.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
People that give up are the people's carcasses that we find in the middle of wilderness experiences of their lives. When they lay down, I just can't take it anymore. The truth is you weren't designed to take it. That's why God came. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Because He knew that you would go through things in your life that you couldn't make it through. You are by design made to depend on God. Never give up. You know, this has been a tough year for a lot of Americans today. We've had people that have lost thousands of homes to fires, tornadoes, and floods just this year. Thousands of homes. Well over 1,000 just in Texas. We've had other people that have lost 40, 50, 60,000 homes just to foreclosure. Just this year. People losing everything they've worked for this year. Losing it all. Some people have lost it to disaster. Some people have lost it to the bank. And people are asking, how do I recover? How do I get through this thing? How do I get my credit fixed? How do I get a new house? How do I rebuild? Some of these people you see on TV, they live there their whole life. These floods in Tennessee ripped their house apart and floated it down the river and destroyed it. Standing out where their house used to be in 2 feet of water, scratching their head, saying, well, they would never give us flood insurance because of where we lived. But my house was here for 80 years. And now it's gone. It's gone. How do I recover from that? I mean, it would be a whole lot easier sometimes just to say, well, I guess I'll just be a renter for the rest of my life. I guess that's it. I gave it my best shot. I guess that's my lot in life. Listen, folks, sometimes to begin again is hard work. Sometimes to do it over again is hard. Just by default, doing it over again means you didn't do it right the first time, so you've got to change something about the way you did it first time, and that's going to be hard. Can't do it the same way you did it the first time. Amen? It's not going to be easy. I ain't going to stand up here and tell you that it's going to be easy. Sometimes it's hard to start again. It's going to take a deeper commitment. It's going to take a little bit more work than you thought. But sometimes you just have to say to this thing, I will live and not die. I will live and not die. And I'm going to get up out of this and I'm going to move on. I'm going to go on. I'm going to do it again. It's not taking me out of the game. I'm going to do it again. Some of you in here, you made commitments to the Lord just in the last past year. And you said, God, I will never do that again. That thing in me is disgusting. And I'll never do it again. 3 months down the road, you find yourself doing it again. Right back in the middle of that sin. Right back in the middle of that lie. Right back in the middle of that mess. And fear and guilt begins to overtake your life, and you feel the burden of all of it, and to where you don't want to even ask God to come help you again, to where you don't want to even repent anymore because you feel like your track record just isn't that great. You're tired of asking. The enemy just wants to keep you in the dirt, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to keep you there. But God says, get up. Resurrect yourself and do it again. Get up and do it again. Resurrect yourself. You can begin again. You know, in World War II, there was a man, they used to call him the Bulldog. He was in politics in the 1920s. He had a call of God on his life to be in politics. He was in politics in the 20s. And during the financial bust of the 20s, the country that he served in tossed him out. And all through the 30s, they didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Some of them said, you will never be in politics again. You've led Great Britain down into a hole that we will never recover from. And for 10 years, he didn't have anything to do with politics. He didn't serve in politics. And the whole nation was really glad about that. But around 1939, a madman named Hitler began to overshadow all of Europe and breathe down the neck of Great Britain. And they called this man named Winston Churchill and they said, will you come back and be prime minister? We need you. They reached back and they found him and they pulled him back and gave him a do-over. People said he'd never be anything again. He'd never do anything again. And here he is in the middle of the worst situation of the 20th century. And he's the Prime Minister of England. And Winston Churchill in 1941, at the beginning of World War II, he went back to the school. I think it was called the Harrow School, Boy for Schools. Something like that. Harrow Boy for Schools, I think. He went back to that school where he attended when he was young. And it was one of the schools that when he was left in disgrace, they were disgraced to even have him had graduated from there. They didn't even want to admit that Winston Churchill had come from their school. But when he became the prime minister, they invited him back to do the commencement speech. And he gets up in front of the whole body of students. And these young men in this school, that year, every one of them was getting ready to go into battle, into war. And he gets up and he gives his commencement speech. And at the end of the speech, he leans across the lectern and he says, never, never, ever, 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 never give up. Never, never, ever, 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 never give up. And he folded his paper and he went and sat back down. I mean, for the next 4 years, if you know anything about history, World War II was bloody. London was pounded by ordnance. Every night they blacked out the city so the German bombers couldn't see the city lights and nowhere to bomb. The city would be in utter darkness every night for 4 years. And bombs would fall around every night. And those words that he spoke rang through that nation many nights when the city was being bombed. Never, ever, 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 never, ever give up. Never give up. Never give up. Can I just tell you this morning that God doesn't want you to give up? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Touch somebody and say, never give up. You know, I was in the Navy for 3 years, and we went to Italy and we did a tour through Rome, through the catacombs and the Vatican. And there One of the most overwhelming things I ever saw was walking through the catacombs. Tombs of thousands of Christians buried underground, where they had cut out the walls, of people that, for no other reason than just believing on the name of Jesus. No other reason, just believing on the name of Jesus. Were set on fire while they were alive. Were stabbed with spears in their guts and tossed into the arena to be devoured by lions. In front of thousands of people in the Colosseum that cheered their death. These cells and these places when Nero was the emperor of Rome. He brutalized hundreds of thousands of Christians this way. And during this time, Paul the Apostle had been arrested. And in the last days of his life, he was in a cell that was about 4 foot, 11 inches tall, with a post in the middle and chains. And if you go there, you can see it. They had him chained to the post, and it was damp and dank. There was no place to sit. He had to lay on the ground, on a rock ground, next to a post. And he spent the last days, the guy that wrote 13 books in our New Testament, spent the last days of his life chained to that pole. And it's there that he wrote to the Philippians. And he wrote the words, "Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And let the peace of God that transcends understanding be on you." That's where he penned those awesome words. He wrote, "For in Christ Jesus concerning you, he'll watch you. He'll keep you. He has your life in the palm of his hand." He wrote to the Colossians there and he said, "You are complete in Christ. You're made whole by Christ, and you lack nothing in Jesus. Be anxious for nothing." For nothing. I mean, that must have been a hard thing to write, chained to a pole. Be anxious for nothing. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? He wrote later on, he wrote, "Do not be deceived. For what you sow, you're going to reap. What you plant in the ground will grow. Whatever you put in your heart is going to come out." Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, a lot of times we teach that in the negative and we say, "Well, you're going to get what you deserve." But that's not the way Paul was writing it. He was writing it from the positive, and he wrote it from the positive perspective. He said, "Do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season." Oh, my God. "In due season, you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not." Basically, he said, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. I know it might be difficult for some of us to recover from some of the stuff we've been in. He can do anything that he needs to do in your life. You've just got to change your perspective and come from this thing and say, "I'm never giving up. Never giving up. I got a do-over. I got a do-over." This morning, I want to ask you to examine your heart. And if this message is for you today and you need a do-over, today's your day. Today's your day. You ain't got to walk out of this place with crud. You ain't got to walk out of this place barely getting along to go along. You can leave this place and discover your destiny in God and begin to understand the purpose of your life. It's so simple.